we turn to the portion of scripture we read in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, where we shall read again verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 5, verses 8 and 9. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Amen. From the Acts of the Apostles, we learn something regarding the city of Ephesus. It was a major city in the time of the New Testament, and there was a certain notoriety about it. It was known, sadly, for sinful practices and witchcraft and idolatry are mentioned specifically in the Acts of the Apostles. But then the gospel came even to Ephesus. The Apostle Paul, in his zeal, in his concern for the glory of God, the advancement of the kingdom of Christ, and in his love to men's souls, came with the gospel. And the Lord himself came in the power of his grace, and many in Ephesus were converted to Christ. And then the city became known for its piety. You can turn to the book of Revelation, and you can read there of the seven churches of Asia, and Ephesus is among them. But a decline quickly set in, for in the epistle to the church at Ephesus, the letter from Christ to his people there, this was expressed. They had left their first love. No longer was their piety as bright and glowing as it once was. That is the tendency always. Gospel comes and many are burning bright for the Lord. Then things begin to wane. What we have in the epistle here, in the time when Paul was alive and bringing the word of God to them, is an exhortation concerning the need for the Ephesians and for believers in every age, and especially perhaps in a day of declension, to be right for the Lord, to walk as children of light. And it's a reminder. And so many things in the Bible are reminders. The same truth is repeated. Why is that? Because we, and no doubt on account of sin, all too easily let important things slip through our minds. How strange it is that trivial things we hold on to, we can easily remember. But the truths of the Word of God are all too easily forgotten, or at least set to one side. And so the Apostle is reminding these believers of certain things which have to do with God's people in every age, and which are surely relevant for us in our own day. Will we not agree that we are living in a time of great spiritual declension? And even true believers may be carried away with that. And they become lukewarm. And they cease to shine as they once did. Well, we need these reminders. And we have three things concerning the children of light as the Lord enables us. Firstly, Paul reminds them of what they once were. And that is important too. We might be thinking, well, if we've been converted, the past is the past. We may simply leave it in the past. No profit in thinking upon it, dwelling upon it. But Paul says to them, ye were sometimes darkness. That's what he says. He's very straightforward. And that surely was very humbling for the Ephesians to consider. Darkness is an emblem of something. So often in the Bible it has to do with ignorance. An ignorance of the things of God. And that's the greatest ignorance of all. And you can have a culture like our own, a society like ours today. And there's much education and much learning. But at the same time there's great ignorance. If God is not at the center, then all our other knowledge in the end will profit us nothing. Might be of help for this life, but only for this life. And we will only understand the world in which we live and our place in it if God is at the center. For everything leads out from Him. Does not Paul say elsewhere concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? But in Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Before the gospel came to Ephesus, these poor souls were in darkness. The sort of darkness that leads to misery. How could there be any blessing? Any peace of mind? Any joyfulness of spirit in the practice of such things as witchcraft and idolatry and all associated with it. They were in darkness as those who do not have the gospel are today and yes, even in our own land. But there's more. He doesn't say ye were sometimes in darkness, although that is true. He says, ye were sometimes darkness. You yourselves were darkness. That was your very character. That was your state of mind. You were far from God. You had nothing of the truth. You were ignorant. And your worship and your manner of life were based on that ignorance. Darkness dwelt in you. Or the depths of that darkness. We must ever remember that this world is not as God made it. And that the explanation for the things we see all around us, and yes, the things we find within ourselves, is the fall that brought about a great change in God's creation and fundamentally in man himself. It's very difficult for us to comprehend it. Because we've never experienced what it was to be in the state of innocency. Adam knew that. And Adam fell. And his sin was our sin. And corruption is now our portion. We come into the world with a sinful heart, sinful nature throughout. We speak of the depravity of man. Man has lost original righteousness. He's no longer upright. There's a blindness. And there is a deadness. And wherever you go, it's the same. And whatever religion men follow, it's the same. And man cannot deliver himself out of his condition. It is impossible. Do we not know the consequences of man's fallen condition? It is seen most obviously in a manward direction. You think of the second table of the moral law, the things that God forbids, and yet that men do them. We have done them. We still do them. In thought, word, and deed. And that's because the darkness is in us. The darkness of sin and unbelief. It's our natural state. But we must never forget the Godward direction. First table of the law. When darkness is in us, and we are darkness ourselves, then we do not know God. We do not know the truth concerning Him. And we do not know how to worship and serve Him as He requires of us. And because we do not know that, we're not rightly related to God. We're not rightly related to our fellow men. The one always leads to the other. Is it not a wonderful thing that set alongside all the laws of every land, you have these 10 commandments, 10 words, as they are described in Scripture. And they sum up the whole law of God. They show us what God requires of all mankind and of ourselves. Simply put, but so extensive, so all-embracing, and dealing not only with our outward behavior, but with our heart. The law cannot save. It prescribes our duty. We're not able to perform it. We need the grace of the gospel, even as these Ephesians experienced it. And apart from that, we're not only sometimes darkness, we're forever darkness. What a thought that there are so many who only ever know one spiritual state, sin and misery. They come into the world like that. All their days spent in this world are in that state. And then they go into eternity. And they remain in that state. And they will never leave it. And of course, in eternity, they are experiencing the full misery of their sinful condition. Friends, we need the reminder. And when we have the reminder, are we not so thankful that the Lord did not leave us as we were? Sometimes darkness, but not darkness now. It was not so with the Ephesians. The church that the Lord had gathered there. It is not so with us today, if we are the Lord's. So he reminds them of what they once were. Ye were sometimes darkness. Then he reminds them of what they now are. Children of light. Puts it this way, but now are ye light in the Lord. That shows us something of what God does when he saves his people. And this too is humbling, but in a different way. If darkness is an emblem of ignorance, light is a symbol of knowledge. The true knowledge. The knowledge of God Most High. The knowledge of the Redeemer. God's love in his Son. The mediator between God and men, who died on the cross to save sinners. Ignorance produces sin, which produces misery. That's universal among men. But knowledge leads to holiness, and holiness leads to happiness. That's universal among the people of God. Now, it's not any knowledge. It's the knowledge we glean from the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the light that breaks forth, shines forth from the Holy Scriptures, as Peter says, a light that shineth in a dark place. And as the Lord's people, God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ. A spiritual and saving knowledge. Now we must say, and do we not know it? It is all of his grace. Left to ourselves, we will have no desire for the Word of God and the message it contains. We have some interesting words in John chapter 3 and verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, ordinarily, people may be afraid of the dark, and they seek the light. But spiritually, we are afraid of the light, and we hide ourselves in the dark. We do not want the Word of God to shine upon us, to hear the truth. It convicts us. Our conscience troubles us, and we would rather flee from it and go into the darkness of this world, and worldly things, worldly ways. That's man's tragedy. And we see it all around us today. Do not men know that they have no hope of a blessed eternity apart from Jesus Christ, apart from his saving work, apart from the forgiveness of sins which He alone can bring? Men's conscience will tell them that the Bible is true. But even though they know that, they will not read it, sit under the preaching of the Word of God. They would rather get on with what they enjoy in their fallenness. The pleasures of sin, which are but for a season, yes, for a season. They're coming to an end. And then what? Out into the darkness. The blackness of darkness forever. Do you not desire the light? Would you not know the way to God and the way to heaven? That's our encouragement. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. But there is no interest. That's the state of our hearts. That's the darkness that belongs to us in our unconverted state. If we are under the gospel, then we are under the light. But it must still shine into our hearts. And we were singing in Psalm 119, and the verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. God gives it entrance. He opens the heart, that the word may shine into the heart. And then, Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's how we are. When we have the light, when the change has taken place in our hearts and we're light in the Lord, then we desire more of the light. We've come to the light. Jesus Christ, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Or if we have the light of life, we would have more of it. More knowledge, more wisdom, more in terms of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that how you are? You're coming to the light daily, opening your Bible, praying that the Lord would give the Scriptures entrance into your heart, enlightening your mind in the knowledge of Christ. You would shun the darkness and the things of a dark world. What have they for you? Nothing. Cannot build you up. Cannot give you comfort. Cannot direct you in the way to a blessed eternity. It's the Bible. God's precious word. That light would shine more and more into our hearts, and that we would be beholding Jesus Christ, who is our light. Thirdly and finally, he reminds them of how they are now to live. He says, now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. The walk. speaks of the life lived out in this world from day to day. It speaks of our conduct. Now, it's one thing to profess faith in Christ, but that profession must be made credible, as it were, by our daily walk, by our manner of life. And only if we are truly united to Christ by faith in Him, and therefore receiving from Him grace for grace, will that life, that walk, be consistent with what the Word of God requires. It will not be perfect. It will never be perfect in this life. But there will be something about your walk, my walk, which will cause others to think in terms of there is something different about these people, those that name the name of Christ. They have a different attitude, different interests. They have a different priority in their life. And we see in them the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ. He manifested the love of God when He was in the world. And the Lord's people are to manifest that love also. Compassion, kindness, generosity of spirit, patience, and all the things that make the gospel attractive to those who are of the world. And they have nothing. But they begin to see something in the Lord's people. Newness of life by the Spirit of Christ. Now, what that life consists of is seen in verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. As you know, the fruit of the Spirit is spoken of in Galatians, but it's also spoken of here, and three things in particular are mentioned, and we may consider them individually. Those who are light in the Lord have something of goodness in terms of their character. It's not of themselves, it's by grace alone. He who is not good is not a true Christian. Now, we're not saying perfectly good. There's only one that is good, the Lord Himself. We're speaking of what grace produces. Sin remains. And sometimes we're so much more conscious of the old nature than we are of the new. It was so with Paul himself, as you discover when you read Chapter 7 of the Romans. When I would do good, evil is present with me. All my flesh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? By grace, the believer has a good heart. And from that heart, a will, enabled by divine grace, which desires that which is good and that which is pleasing to the Lord. And by the grace of God, again, out of that heart, the believer performs that which is good. Good works. Faith, which never issues in good works, is dead. It's alone. It's not the faith of God's elect. The faith which is by the working of the Spirit. It's not the faith that unites the individual to Christ as a branch in the vine to receive grace, to do what glorifies God. But then also righteousness. And we spoke earlier of the moral law, summed up in the Ten Commandments. That's the standard of righteousness. The inflexible standard. Because it's God's standard. And in the true believer, the one who's light in the Lord, there is a conformity in conduct to the moral law of God. Not perfect. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But the desire is there. And the beginning of obedience. And the heart is being purified by faith. And the soul is being conformed to Jesus Christ. The divine image is being restored in the soul. And this is the sanctification of the child of God. And a third and final thing. There is truth. And there must be truth. In a way, that's the great divide today. People have lost the idea, the very idea of absolute truth. Truth is what is true for you. And who is anyone to say categorically, dogmatically, this is true and that is false? And especially when it comes to religion. We have to accept everyone's beliefs. We have to regard everyone as sincere. And we must not in any way say that a doctrine or a practice is wrong, sinful, untrue. But we must. Because the Bible is the standard here. God's revealed truth. And it's not a kindness if when we meet with others who do not believe in God at all or who believe in a false God, if we simply wish them well, never speak to them concerning truth. They're in the darkness. The darkness is in them. The light must shine. The gospel is light. It must come forth from our lives and from our lips. Poor and needy sinners everywhere must come to know Jesus Christ. There's no other way to God. But let the truth be seen in our lives. Paul is going on to speak about various important aspects of life, life in general, but where believers should shine by the grace of God, working a change in their lives according to the word of God. He's going to speak about marriage and about family and about work. Great, important aspects of life. He's saying to the Ephesians, let the light be seen in you in these things. Let it be evident to all that a profound change has taken place in your hearts. God's word has entered in. You now live by its light. Goodness, righteousness, truth. The fruit of the Spirit is in you. May it abound and be more and more apparent. That is a great witness, a great argument for the gospel. But let us be careful that we attribute a change and any good thing to the Lord and to the Lord alone, our glorious light and the one who has dealt so graciously with us to deliver us from darkness and to bring us to the light. May God bless his word to us. Let us pray. O Lord, grant that by thy grace we would be followers of Christ, walking as Jesus walked, in the light of thy word, having that light in our very hearts, recognizing the darkness of sin and unbelief, and praising thee that we have been delivered from our plight. And grant that the gospel may be going forth in these days, and be blessed to many. O hear us, and prosper us by thy Spirit, forgiving our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen.